We're looking at developing spiritually. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power there, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always until the end. Now, we did a background study of that last week. I'll just go back there. And we said that there are four accounts of this same thing. We have the Luke 24 account from about verse 13, but precisely verse 25, when he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's the same account, because it's a 40-day event. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then verse 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We decided to look at the meaning of that. And in verse 44, he said, these are the words which I said to you, Luke 24:44, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then he opened ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And verse 46, thus it is written, they behold Christ to suffer, and he did be raised from the dead the third day. And 47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. 48, you are witness unto these things. And 49, behold, I send the form to my Father upon you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued power from on high. Now, we said that this is what he did in 40 days, according to Luke's account. Luke 1, verse 2, 3, that says he taught them for 40 days. So I said to you that, in other words, Jesus began to teach them from the Old Testament. And I said that every time Jesus was teaching, or the apostles were teaching, just like you have a Bible now, your Bible starts from Genesis. And I want to believe, amen. That's an assumption, right? That your Bible starts from Genesis. Some guys have a very small one, like an ATM card, as a Bible. But let me assume you have a Bible, Genesis through to Revelation. But when Jesus was teaching here, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have Romans. They didn't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They didn't have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They didn't have all of that. What they had was Genesis to Malachi. That's what they had when he was teaching. So in other words, when any statement he made in his teaching, he is making references or teaching from or explaining from the Old Testament books. So in other words, when he says beginning from Moses, it means that he began from the book of Genesis. Okay. So from the book of Genesis, he says all authority is given to me. So we said last week, what do you mean by all authority? All the authority of the scriptures is vested on me. That's what he means. Now, you need to also examine John 5:39. It says, search the scriptures, John 5:39. For in them you think you have eternal life, John 5:39. Then it says, but they are they, what is it there, which testify of me. Can you see it? Can you see it? For in them you think you have eternal life. The scriptures, they refer to what? The book of Romans? Ephesians? No, Genesis through to Malachi, right? So it says, they are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. Now, if you closely look at verse 45. Let's read verse 45 together. Boy, let's go. 45. Think not, I'm come to accuse you before the Father. There is one which accuses you before the Father. Even Moses whom you trust. The word Elpizo. Now, look at verse 46. Slowly, let's go. Believe Moses, you will have believed. Why? Because he wrote concerning me, he wrote of me. Verse 47. How could you believe? So you see that Jesus is saying when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he was writing about him. Come on. You listening? So he was writing about him. And so when Jesus says, all authority is given to me, we begin to look at the four Gospels again and examine what kind of authority is he talking about. Remember, there was a day like that. He was in the temple, and then as he was teaching, Luke 5:17, the Bible says, the power of the Lord, he opens your Bible quickly, you know, because I don't have more time, so I don't want to go back to my Bible all the time. So you keep opening. Is that clear? You do the opening. Amen. So he was in the synagogue called the temple, and the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal in Luke 5:17. Then there was this fellow who obviously was paralyzed, so he couldn't come in because there was a lot of crowd in the room. And his friends led him through the roof, or the ceiling as we call it today. And as he came in, Jesus saw their faith. He now says, your sins, you see that, are forgiven you. Your sins, is that what you have there? They are forgiven. And then they all get, where does he have the power to do what he's doing? Who gave him the kind of power? Because they know that that power only belongs to God. So by mentioning that statement, your sins are forgiven, Jesus, as it were, assumes the authority of the scriptures. Now, he now says, why are you guys thinking in your hearts? Then he says to them in let's read verse 23 together. Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk. Let's say 24 together. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. He said then to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go to your house. So, in other words, the reason why Jesus was healing the sick was a sign that he forgives sins. So, is God the authority? Alright? To forgive. Then look at Luke 7:48. There's another story. He's in the house of a Pharisee. Then a woman who is called a sinner came around, and then she began to kiss his feet and anoint it with tears and all of that. And then everybody said, how does she know that? Doesn't he know that this lady is a prostitute or a renowned runs girl, as we say? Then he gave the parable of forgiveness of debts. And he says, if someone forgives you 50, or another person forgives of 100, who will love most? And they said, the one who forgives 100. He says, therefore, he that is forgiven the most will love the most. Then in 48 he says, woman, your sins are forgiven you. In 50, he says, your faith has saved you. Now, look at the statement, the truth here. He says, your sins are forgiven thee. Then he says, your faith has saved you. Again, that's the authority of forgiveness of sins. Then the authority of salvation. And then in Luke 10:19. Of course, Luke 9 and 2 says he gave them power over unclean spirits and to heal sickness and diseases in Luke 9:2. Then in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you authority, alright, to trample upon serpents and scorpions, Luke 10:19, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he also has power, authority to heal the sick. So he's saying those statements, as we said, in fulfillment of the scriptures. Now, go back to Luke 24:44 again. Let me show you something quickly. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you. Now let's quickly read that story. That all things, must be what? All things must be fulfilled. Now the word fulfilled there is the word plerou. P-L-E-R-O-O in the Greek, or sometimes pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, but in that sentence, it can be used as a past tense, then a present tense as well. It means everything said there is coming to pass or has come to pass. Which means when I pick Genesis to Malachi, I'm picking up a book of prophecies, a book of predictions. So, in interpreting the Old Testament, realize that you are holding in your hands a book of events that are yet to take place, but you have signposts to them. Signposts. Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Praise the Lord. That's why John, in John's Gospel chapter 1:1, he says, in the beginning. Remember last week we looked at in the beginning? Remember? We were around last week, come on. Raise your hand you were last week. If you keep changing services, it's different teaching, though. You should know me now. You were around last week? You're blessed. Very good. So in the beginning was the Logos. Okay? Now, the word Logos there, that's the word. Logos is used for a subject matter. Okay? A summary or summation of many things in one. Or an emphasis or an interpretation. So that same word is what you have in Luke 24:44. These are the logos. Now, a shade of that is the word Lego. I don't know if you played Lego when you were young. Lego. You know Lego? Oh my God. How many of you played table soccer? You know table soccer? Excuse me? Table soccer? Use counters. Counters. That you will bend, you press, and put number 10. Oh my God. You know how to score like this. You played that one. You just played it. You are playing it now. Hi! We're in the last days. Sincerely, this is the first time I'm going to see a woman say this. You are blessed. God has a purpose for your life. Okay, you know, Lego is when you are building a house. So you keep, you know, that's where you have the word logos. So you are going towards a destination. So John says, in the beginning was the building. You are building towards an end. And the word was with God, and the word was God. In other words, the book of Genesis is like the beginning of a project. It's like a future event that began. We saw that last week, right? Did we see that last week? Okay. So, was the Logos was with God, and God was the Logos. In the beginning. Alright? The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2, and all things were made by Him, and without Him wasn't anything made that was made. Then it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. No wonder in Genesis, you first see the Spirit of God, then darkness, then light. The Spirit of God is the life of God. Genesis 1:2. It says, in Him was that life, and that life was the light of men. Because we saw last week that light is not the sun, moon, and stars. Is that right? Good. And so He says, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. Now verse 14 says, the Word became flesh, then He says, and dwelt amongst us. Logos sax ignoto kai eskonosien. Don't bother about that. What He's saying here is the Logos of Genesis, alright, is the tabernacle of Exodus. Because Exodus is where you have the word tabernacle. Dwelt. Skeno. Or skini, sorry. Skeno, skini means to tabernacle. Because Moses, in Exodus, began to build a tabernacle where he says God will dwell there. Now, John is telling us the reason for that tabernacle is the logos of Genesis. Now, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Is the fulfillment of that. So, let me quickly give you a rundown on that. In verse 26, he said, let us make man our image after our likeness. In our image after our likeness. We saw that last week. The word selem, which is in the Greek, eikon. Image and likeness. Image simply means to be reproduced in another place or in another format. Now, in their own day, it was used for idols, unseen beings. They will now build like a physical element and say, this represents the idol. Now, Moses is saying, God's representation in the earth will be in man. Now, pay attention. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, you will see that the word image comes back and says that in verse 3, the day that God made Adam in his own image, then he bore a son after his image and likeness. He bore a son after his image and likeness. So one, Genesis 1, God's beginning of the project. Genesis 1, 26, 28, that project will be God will dwell in who? Image? In who? In who? Come on. I said image means to be found for God or a spiritual being to be found in another form. Alright? So God will be found as who? Are you there? And Genesis 5, 3, in his image after likeness means to give birth. So God will be found as a man, and that man will be called the son of, you get it? Same. I just gave you a quick rundown. Praise God. A quick rundown there. So John says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He just read Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3, Genesis 1, 26, 28, Genesis 5, 1 to 3. So, Jesus, therefore, assumes this role, firstly, by his birth. The way he came to the earth, he must come directly from God. He must come from God. That's why when you look at John 1:14, and it says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Then John 1:18, no man had seen God at any time, but the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 1:18. Now, pay attention here. The writers of the New Testament in Greek were very careful on their use of words, because that word, only begotten, monogenes, in the Greek. I found out that when they're referring to being born again, John 3:3, except a man is born again, anothing genao, it's often used for when you give birth to a child. Okay? Born of the Spirit, John 3:5, John 3:8. That's a different shade to John 1:14 and John 1:18. They use monogenes. That slight variation shows that they are not referring to giving birth to. They are referring to, come on, look at this, coming from, where you have the same person found in another way. Monogenes. Some versions, I think it's the NIV, says begotten only, came only from, that is, what you are seeing here in the incarnation, is God Himself, all right, changing His location. Jesus uses the word ginomai, John 1:14, to change location, to become someone else, but He's the same person. So He says here that Jesus is that monogenes. One of the things I said last week, I think it's one of the services, that to believe in God means to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not negotiable. Now, let's go further. So in His birth, in Matthew 1:21, you shall call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. He will save. He will save His people from their sins. Luke's Gospel 1, from verse 35 to 37. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, shall overshadow you, and that which shall be begotten of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. And that confirms Isaiah 9 and 7, that says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 7:14. I show you a sign, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So by His birth, He is a Logos. In Luke 3:22, you find at the baptism of John, it says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Let me give you a quick Bible study. You ready? Now, go to Exodus 4:22, quickly. Exodus 4:22. Remember, every time we read the words of Jesus, we are reading the Old Testament, right? Okay, Exodus. And He is the fulfillment of the predictions, right? Come on. Good. So, Exodus 4:22, are you there? Read it out. You don't know where Exodus is. Have you seen it? Let me help you. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my, and my what? Firstborn. Now, when did you hear, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased? At the baptism of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to something very quick, very quick, very quick, very quick. Now go to Luke 9. Put your hands in Luke 3:22 and Luke 9, 31. Are you there? Luke 9:31. I'm going to read it faster than best. In your secondary school, you know faster than best? Well, I'll open to the scripture very quickly. You don't use a eastward or what do you call those things? Yeah. What do you have there? Luke 9:31. Yeah? Sorry. Luke 9:31. Who appeared in glory. He appeared with Moses and Elijah in a vision. In glory. Go on. And spoke of His... Now that word disease is a Greek word exodus. Exodus. How many of you have Exodus? There should be a version like that. Who has Exodus? Nobody? Nobody does. The word is Exodus. Exodus. And it's the same word for the Exodus that we just read. Now, notice something else. In that Luke 9. How about using just your Bible all out? Okay. Look at verse 35. This is my... Okay, so what is similar? It says it's going to perform an Exodus. This is my beloved Son. Then we read Exodus 4:22. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Who's seen the similarity? Let me see. Anybody seen similarity? Okay, wait, one more. Now, where was it first said? It was said at the baptism of John that happened at Jordan. Jordan was when they crossed to the promised land. Remember? Come on. So that means all they were doing was predicting what Jesus would do to all of us. Are you there? So who is the firstborn and the beloved son? Jesus. Alright. Who was the signpost to it? Israel. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Alright. So this is Jesus fulfilling scripture by saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That is, this is who the scriptures are testifying of. So in his birth, it's called the son. In the baptism, which prefigures the Exodus, is called the Son. And thirdly, in His resurrection. In His resurrection. In His resurrection. Psalm 2 verse 7. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Let me show you one more, just to show, to elaborate what I just said. Go to Luke 4 again. At the temptation of Jesus, notice, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Is that Israel again? Come on, is that Israel? Then he was tempted for 40 days. Is that Israel? Alright, good. Now, the devil came, if you are the Son of God. So where Israel failed, Jesus was faithful. If you are the Son of God, pound the stones of bread. And Jesus, all the three texts he quoted, every three texts, Deuteronomy 6:13, 6:16 and 8:3 were the texts that Moses wrote to Israel in the wilderness. So Jesus overcame with Deuteronomy. He was faithful where Israel was not faithful. So he embodies the promises of God and he fulfills them. So just quick Bible study, I told you. So when you say the son, the way we call son is someone that we went to the hospital to go and bring out from the clinic after he was giving birth to and all of that. Son means somebody who inherits your words, your title, your possession. So Jesus has this authority. He inherits all that God promises. Quickly go to 2 Samuel 7. You learning something? Talk to me, are you learning something? 2 Samuel 7. This is to David. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of my bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of this kingdom forever. I will be his father, he will be my son. Now, in 12, he says, I will set up thy seed. That was set up in the Hebrew. The Greek word means, I will raise up. The same word for resurrection. So this is a prophecy about Jesus. He will build my house. He will build my house. Remember John 2:19? Destroy this temple. After 3 days, I will raise it again. So Jesus becomes the fulfillment of the figures of speech, prophecies of the Old Testament. He fulfilled what Israel failed at in the wilderness. He's proven the Son of God in temptation by incarnation, in the baptism of John, and vitally in the resurrection. Let me see your hand now. Come on. Praise God. So, we'll continue, don't worry, it's a series, so I'll elaborate on this later. So Jesus fulfills the Old Testament predictions. I was saying last week that the word beginning, remember that word, Bereshit, remember? Reshith and Rosh, R-O-S-H. We said it means head, beginning, first, and also firstborn. Head, beginning, first, and firstborn. And we looked at Colossians 1:15-18. Is the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead. He is the beginning of all things. He is the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:15. Firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:18. Like I mentioned, Genesis 1 is the story of the new creation, or the story of the resurrection of Jesus. Because you can't say God created the heavens and the earth. The next verse is the earth was nothing, without form and void. And there was darkness. Which means that Moses is teaching salvation, redemption, the new creation. So Genesis chapter 1 is the story of the resurrection of Jesus. I showed you last week that what Moses is teaching Israel is God's plan of redemption and salvation. That's last week. So let's quickly go to the text of today. Amen. Don't worry. We'll get to the promised land. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? Thank you. So Genesis 1:1. The seed is in itself, right? Bringing forth fruit after his kind. So we said that seed in Genesis is who? Is who? Christ. Remember that? Remember that? Alright. Is Christ. Because in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity, go there, between thy seed and thy seed. God is talking to the serpent now. Between thy seed and a seed, a seed will bruise thy head. And we know the seed there is not the seed of rice. Is the seed of Christ. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Now, why is Moses using seed? Jesus also used seed to teach about the kingdom. It's a parable. So, a parable means to use an illustration. Did I give you the expression of parable last week? Parabole. Did I? Para beside, et balo. I did. I have done it before. Parable means an illustration. Parabole in the Greek means para is beside. Bole is from what ekbalo, to throw. So, I want to talk about mathematics. Then I use an illustration in biology. Because you get what I'm saying in mathematics by using a biological explanation. I want to talk about spiritual things. Then I talk about commercial things so you can relate with what I'm saying. Do you understand that? So by using seed, serpent, tree, waters, Moses, who writes the book of Genesis, who wrote it, is using an illustration. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So the seed is a man. So if the seed in Genesis is a person, the harvest will be what? Persons. Is that right? So if the seed is a person, will the earth, pay attention, will the earth or the ground be your farm site or men amongst men? Is it making sense? Alright, good. So, again, God talks to Abraham. He that blesses you, I will bless. He that curses you, I will curse. For in you, Genesis 12:3, shall all the families of the earth, Genesis 12:3, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth. Verse 2 says, I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now put your hands in that verse and open to two places quickly. Genesis 1:26-28. Genesis 1:26-28. Let's make man our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, cattle and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And God created man in his own image after his likeness. Created he male and female created them. Verse 28. Let's take it together. God blessed them and said, fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Now, do you use replenish for a new thing? Huh? No. Do you use subdue for a new thing? No. So this is a new creation. Is that clear? A redemption. That's why you use replenish, subdue. You can't start and say replenish. Replenish means to fill up. To add strength. To replace. So, now, go to that Genesis 12. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now open to the third one, Genesis 15. Verse 5. Look at 3 first. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You said I'll replenish the earth. But you gave me no seed. And no one born in my house is my heir. And God said, no, he shall not be your heir. For he that shall come out of thy bowel shall be thine heir. Can you say seed, son, heir? Are you following, guys? Are you following? Seed, son, heir. Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars, if you be able to number them, he said unto them, so shall thy seed. Can we also say son, heir? Okay. Are you following? Are you following? So through Abraham, God is going to fulfill Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Let me see if you understand. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Very good. So through Abraham, the seed will bring forth fruit after its kind in the earth. Psalm 22. Praise God. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 30. Are you there? Read it loud. A seed shall serve him. I shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. A generation. So a seed stands for what? A generation. Are you there? So can we therefore say the Abraham, the Adam promise of Genesis 1 is going to be fulfilled through the promise made to Abraham, right? Come on. Come on. Are we there? And the blessing of Genesis 3:15. What's that blessing again? What's the blessing? You will bruise the head of the serpent. Right? Come on. Will happen through Abraham. Okay, so, which means that what is going on is a project towards the coming of Jesus. Don't forget what we are talking about. Spiritual development or developing spiritually. So the seed of God, can we say the seed of God is His Son? Can we also say the seed of God is the Word of God? Is that correct? Is that correct? So go to the parable of the sower. Go to the parable of the sower. Mark 4:26, the parable of the sower. Mark 4:26. The kingdom of God, let's take it together, Mark 4:26. Let's go. 1, 2, go. So is the kingdom of God as if a man shall cast what? Shall cast what? Seed. Look at verse 14. The sower soweth what? Who is the word? Who is the word? Jesus. Look at Luke 8. So the kingdom of God is in a seed, right? Come on. All right. Luke 8. Verse 11. Let's read it loud. Luke 8:11. Let's go. Now the parable is this. The seed is Jesus. Am I right? The seed is the word of God. Praise God. Come on. So what about the soil? The soil is the heart of man. Is that clear? Come on. Let me see your hand if you're following this. Come on. Let me see your hand. Let me see. Come on. So the seed is the word. Alright. The seed is the word. The earth is the heart of man. I'm actually approaching the text now. I've not gone to the main text yet. But we'll get to it shortly and do what we can there. Let's quickly mention something else. Something else. You know, if you read the book of Genesis, God said to Abraham, to a land I'm going to show you. And all through the book of Genesis, Abraham never built his own house. He lived in a moving tent. He lived like a pilgrim in the earth. And not just himself, Isaac. Not just Isaac, Jacob. But each of them said to their own children, the land that God has given us. Somehow they found themselves in Egypt. Moses goes again and says, I'm taking you to the land God has given to us. When they eventually got to Canaan, yes, hundreds of years after, Psalm 95 says, alright, make sure you enter into the rest. Who's following this? So, that means the use of land is also a parable. So, what could the land be? Again, we have to go back to Genesis. Where was Adam driven away from? The Garden of Eden. Alright? What was in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life. Right? What is the tree of life? The Spirit of God. Who's following this? If you are following this, let me see your hand. Do you get it? So the promised land is, can we say the work of the Spirit? Can we say the work of the Spirit? Can we say the life of God? Come on. You following this? Following this? Because what is in the Garden of Eden? The tree, the life of God, the Spirit of God. So the Garden of Eden is not a street on earth. It's the work of the Spirit in all the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, now look up. Let's tie a few things up. Praise God. I'm working a miracle here. Hope you are blessed. You have to view. Let's take it again. The seed is the word of God. Is that clear? And that is what God has done in Jesus Christ. Is that clear? The land is the Garden of Eden as a parable, which is the work of the Spirit, the tree of life. Is that clear? Was that the land God promised Abraham? So what is the seed in that land? Jesus Christ. In that land, he will bring forth fruit after his kind. Right? And what else is that land? The image of God. Right? Is it clear? Are you sure? Okay. That's a summary, right? Good. So let's go to the book of Proverbs. Our text. I'm not sure we opened it last week. But now we have to open it today. We're talking about developing spiritually, right? Is that the topic? So I'm not teaching you fourth service. Let that tell me quickly. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first fruit of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, people have read this to mean the first fruit, which they give at every January. Now, 2020 has burst that already. By next year, January, people will say, Pastor, calm down. You just have to calm down. Praise God. So people assume that what he's saying is that at the beginning of every year, if you want your band to increase, you have to bring the first fruit of your increase. Yes. So if you earn 100,000 there, the entire money in January, don't pay school fees. Don't pay house rent. Tell your landlord, it's January. I have to pay my first fruit. And the man is a member of your church. So he said, That's why I don't want to put Christians in my house. Now the truth is, you can't have increase by giving. Solomon knows it. He expects you to know it. It's just the fact. Giving is honor. Giving is godly. But giving is not to prosper. This is the challenge with many, particularly Pentecostal charismatic. And they live in a delusion. So everything that happens to them materially, says because I gave. What of the things that didn't happen? Because you did not give well? Oh. And these are the kind of texts that have been misunderstood. They think God gave them a principle of prosperity, a principle of increase. No pastor can teach you how to prosper. The people that can teach you how to prosper, sometimes they are not in the church. See. No pastor. See, I'm using the Bible. Does anybody tell you, when you come to this ministry, it is not true. Last week, the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, he was recorded to have $200 billion. Don't bring out the calculator yet. It's not necessary. Things like that, just accept the will of God. Don't calculate it. If you know the exchange today, you will not calculate it. You just say, This world is not my home. He doesn't practice any of these things that you are saying. And it is not because God's word is not true. It's because you didn't understand it. Some say, Solomon is teaching you principles of what? You didn't get him. Praise God. Somebody was actually explaining that Jesus in the parable of the sower was teaching us how to plant. And don't go to school. Just read the parable of the sower and give yourself a degree. BSc Bible Agriculture. You see how stupid you look. So I say, the parable of the talents is business skills. if you studied business administration for 4 years and you wrote many tests, you'll be angry at that statement. 11 verses. How to administer business. 11 verses. Did they put cost of wealth there? Overhead? No! Spiritual things. Better shut your mouth there. Solomon is not teaching you how to get wealthy. No. So many are desperate. They just throw their monies at churches thinking, I know this is my year. It's my year. It's my year. When it comes to around November, just give thanks no matter what has happened. By June, you see, many things can still happen before the end of the year. By October, November, last minute miracle. By December, at least give thanks. It's a program. Because you raise your hopes. And oftentimes, the person in Yoruba land, they say the person that wants to die has met the person that wants to bury him. Why would you think by sowing 1,000 naira, you get 1 million? Are you not Yahoo? You are Yahoo. I work for a living. I know the stress. Sometimes fear wants to get into your heart. I know it. And they will call you. Your workers will call you. Oga, you know, because they collect salary. They just say it anyhow. This has happened though. So what do we do? I don't want to curse. The thing is just to put money in the offering basket. The next day check a lot. Are you Yahoo? Who was Solomon? Solomon was a teacher of the scriptures. The teacher of the law. I told the fellow, I said, okay, the Bible says, honor and love the substance and the first fruit of all like increase, so that your barns will be. I said, are you a farmer? He said, no. What do you do? He said, I'm an IT expert. Do you use barns as code? He said, no. Is barns a software? He said, no. Is it a computer application? He said, no. Why are you now applying that scripture? It's not literal. So you are giving yourself brain. So if the barn is not literal, why is the increase literal? You have started again. You think you know everything. I do. So, you better. Me too. I used to use that scripture for money. Because I was just like, not you. You. Are you there? What is Solomon talking about? Proverbs 1. Glory to God. Proverbs 1. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, to understand a proverb. The word proverb is the word mashal. M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. It simply means a parable. A parable. To understand the mashal and the interpretation, which means there are two things in this book. There is mashal, parables. There is interpretation. The word there is the Hebrew word melita. It's for satire, sarcasm, satire. The words of the wise and their dark sayings, chida in the Hebrew, which means a complex question. He says, what you need is what? The fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, the key to the book of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord. The moment your heart is after money and your own desires, you will misread it. The key is the fear of the Lord. So, the book of Proverbs is about God. So, in Proverbs 3, look at the context. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be held to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and the first fruit of all thine increase, so that shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses will burst with new wine. Do you sell wine? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as the father, the son in whom he delights. So this is a text for spiritual growth. That's what it's about. Spiritual growth. It's an instruction, a father to a son. Hebrews 12:5 and 6 quotes this text. Remember that exhortation as one that speaks unto a son. Padia in the Greek. P-A-I-D-I-A. The same word that Paul employs in 2 Timothy 3:15. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Child instruction for growth. Instruction in righteousness. Instruction. So these are instructions for growth. Instruction for spiritual development. Just like Hebrews 12:5. Ephesians 6:4. Nurture up your children in the admonition of the Lord. So the text says. So what is Solomon referring to here? Are you following this? The question is, who is Solomon? Solomon is a king who has a duty. Deuteronomy chapter 17. You learning something? Are you learning something? Now, Moses says that God is your king, alright, but sometimes I know you guys are going to get up one day and say, you want a king, we want a king. And they did. In 1 Samuel 8, they said, we want a king like all the nations. Okay. So, Moses says, now when you now get that king, ensure this is the kind of king that you get. He said, one, the king will be among your brethren. Verse 15. Verse 16, he will not multiply horses to himself. Solomon did this one. He won't cause you to return to Egypt. That means he won't cause you to go and worship idols. Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. He won't multiply the horses. In verse 17, he will not multiply wives to himself. Solo. That his heart be turned away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Solo. Everything here, Reverend Solomon did. It shall be that when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him, that is, he shall teach from himself what? A copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. It shall be with him that he shall read therein in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law, that is Genesis to Deuteronomy, right? Okay. And this statutes to do them. So, Solomon was a teacher of Genesis to Deuteronomy. Who's following this? Come on. Are you following this? Are you following this? So if he's a teacher of Genesis to Deuteronomy, that means the book of Proverbs are illustrations of spiritual truths. So let's do a quick run, and then we have to quickly put it to bed somewhere. Look up now. I want you to go to get this very clearly. The seed is money. Are you sure? Are you sure? The seed is money, material things, or rice seeds. The seed is the word. Right? The land is the work of the Spirit. Okay? Sown in our hearts. Good. Is it clear? Is that the truth of Genesis? So if I'm teaching you and you have Genesis 1 through to Genesis 50, then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and I say, honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of your increase. What should be on your mind? If all you have before you is Genesis to Deuteronomy. The land is the work of the Spirit. Right? The seed is the word of God. Who's following this? So, which means that I am using an agricultural principle to teach you what? Spiritual growth or increase. The first fruit of all that increase will be the first fruit of the land. The first fruit of the land. So the increase here will be found in what? Owning material things or in persons. So is Solomon teaching prosperity or is teaching serving the Lord? All right. We're hanging on there. Close here. So when he uses the phrase honor, the word honor is from the word kabod. K-A-B-O-D in the Hebrew. Kabod is used for riches. Kabod. Riches. Is used for glory. Or what is heavy. It's a word that is involved in worship. Service. And we said that Jesus Christ is the seed. We'll take it up from here next week. But get the very basics. That the parables of Genesis and the parables of Proverbs are illustrations to point out spiritual truth. Oftentimes when people read the word first fruit in the Old Testament, they get to the New Testament and they get confused. That the first fruit in the New Testament either talks about persons or the resurrection. So they are wondering, is there a contradiction? There's no contradiction. Is the way you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written in a parable, in many instances, in an illustration, or what they call today types and shadows, and the reality is found in the resurrection. So today, we'll continue to study from this, how our honor and service for the Lord brings increase in the land, and through the land, that God has given to us. You bless this morning. You bless this morning. Stand to your feet, lift your hands and bless him. Give him praise.